Good evening. This is the Genoa Township Board of Trustees meeting. This is a regular trustee meeting. Today's date is December 1st, 2022. A full and accurate account of this meeting's audio recording can be found at www.genoatwp.com. The time is 6:30 p.m. This time I'll ask our fiscal officer, Pat Meyer, to call the roll.
You can sit down and do it.
Mr. Antoinette?
Yes, here.
Ms. Goodman?
Here.
Ms. Mom?
Here. Also present, we have our Deputy Police Chief, Russ Tribali, our Director of Roads and Buildings and Grounds, Bob Matthews, our Police Lieutenant, James McMillan, our Fire Chief, Joe Ponzi, Director of Zoning and Development, Joe Schaefer, Paul Wise, our Township Administrator, and Linda Greco, Director of Human Resources, and also Leslie Strader, who is our Director of Communications. So at this time, I'll ask Lieutenant McMillan to stand and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, I'll turn it over to the fiscal office.
All right. I just have a few things for you. First, I'd ask for approval of the trustee meeting minutes. The September 20th special trustee meeting, November 3rd regular trustee meeting, November 15th special trustee meeting.
I'll move to approve the following: the September 20th, 2022 special trustee meeting minutes, November 3rd, 2022 regular trustee meeting minutes, November 15th, 2022 special trustee meeting minutes. Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Antoinette?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries.
Okay. I have the month-end October financials for your review at the end of the meeting. Total balances of $29,155,572.18. That's broken down with our pooled investments of $21,472,009.51 and $7,683,562.67. Everything's clear. There are no adjustments, and I'll have you review that for your signature. Next, we do our annual BWC workers' compensation annual premium. I need approval for that, please.
Okay. I'll move to approve the purchase order to BWC in the amount of $99,988 effective January 1st, 2023 for the 2023 workers' compensation annual premium. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Antoinette?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries.
Lastly, I have two supplemental appropriations. One is for the road and bridge funds. We'll be taking the funds out of contracted services and moving it to operating supplies for $104.03. And then from the Parks Department, taking out tax collection fees and moving it into Parks Fund salaries.
Okay. I'll move to approve the following supplemental appropriations: roads and bridge fund account 2031-330-360-0000 in the amount of $104.03 to account number 2031-330-420-0000 in the amount of $104.03. Also, in the Parks Fund, from account number 2171-610-314-0000 in the amount of $7,400 to account number 2171-610-100-0000 in the amount of $7,400. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion?
Yeah, what's the $7,400? Do we know?
Tax.
So the park salaries appropriation was running low, so we moved the money within the fund. We had the ability to move the money within the fund, and we were able to take it out because the tax collection fees, the appropriation was higher.
Okay.
Roll call.
Mr. Antoinette?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries.
Two just informational things. We will spend no more money as of December 16th. Well, until we reopen the books. We'll close off spending on the 16th so we can get the books closed and reopen for 2023 right after the reorg meeting and everything. Then we'll then reopen. Donna does a great job of getting that done early. Some places don't, we do. So, and the department heads have always done a great job of making sure that they understand that that's the last day. So December 16th, and then we just paid the bill for my CPIM certification, which I'll have completed by the end of the month, which is the public investment management training that I have to do. So I'll have that done by the end of the month.
Very good.
That's it.
Thank you. All right, we'll open up to public comment. So if you would like to speak, please feel free to move up to the microphone.
Good evening. My name is Lindsay Gard. My address is 8198 Chateau Lane. I'm in the Barrington Estates neighborhood. I am here as a concerned resident and parent about the recent communication of 5 stop signs that will be removed in various neighborhoods around the township. Barrington Estates is one of those neighborhoods with a stop sign in question. And I, along with many other residents in all of these neighborhoods, I guess I'm here less for comment and more for asking questions, just to put out on public record or public comment. The communication felt very lacking in this situation. I happened to be on the Board of Trustees for our neighborhood and found out about this through a screenshot of, I believe it was an email from Trustee Vaughn. I don't think it was her official trustee email, so I don't know what the communication was exactly, but basically saying there was a request for engineering assistance due to complaints of people rolling through the stop signs, and this was a safety concern for the parents who live right there and for parents like myself who live on the other side of the neighborhood, but I send my kids specifically to that spot to cross over to get to, I can't think of the park in our neighborhood right now, the park right there across the street. Center Green, thank you. I knew it was green, but it's a blue park, so that's what we call it. But then in a recent meeting that Trustee Vaughn had with our PTA, a few members from our PTA and Alcott's principal, they were told that a traffic pattern study was done. So I guess my question, one of my questions would be, was it a request for engineering assistance? Is that the traffic pattern study? Are those different things? Which came first? Which was in response to the concerns of the neighbors? So what was the impetus? Which one was it for the impetus for the removal of the stop signs? The stop signs were then found to be improperly placed. So it would be nice for the residents to know what research was done to figure out how was that discovered, that those were improperly placed. About 20 years ago, I believe, is when they were placed. It seems to me a little improbable that 5 stop signs in the township would be improperly placed, and that would be allowed to just happen. When we put in a public records request, all we got was the request for the engineering assistance. So maybe there was nothing else to share, but it would be nice to know, you know, how was that discovered, that these were improperly placed in the first place? Another question I would have is, if they're improperly placed and they cannot be enforced, how long has that been known that they were improperly placed? Specifically, how long has Genoa PD known that these couldn't be enforced, which is why it was continuing to be an issue for residents? I think that that's important for us to know. If this has been known for a while, then that's concerning to me. And how do we know that others in the township aren't also improperly placed. The PTA board was told that no stop signs will be removed until a replacement is in place, and probably not until after winter. This is not what was in the motion, I believe, from November. So I'd be curious to know, is there actually a timeline for this happening? Will residents be notified, or can the county engineer come out tomorrow and remove them and, you know, then it's gone? On that note, a crosswalk has been suggested as a replacement. Are crosswalks more enforceable, or are they legally enforceable? Is it more enforceable than a stop sign, or is a stop sign more enforceable than a crosswalk? Again, these are all questions that I have and that residents have in these neighborhoods. It seems to me like those would maybe be more arbitrary and less safe. I am having a hard time understanding why we would remove something that was obviously put there for concerns of the traffic flow through down those roadways, so that then we can enforce speeding instead of a stop sign. To me, it seems if it's a law, it's a law. You know, if it's enforceable, it's enforceable. I guess that wraps up my public comment, but I would request that responses be made in writing to the HOAs or Board of Trustees of each of these neighborhoods so that the residents can then know and some clarity can be made. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Good evening, Carl Gebhardt, 6796 Regency Drive. Geez, I take a couple months off, and look what happens. I'm not sure why, after 20 years, at least 20 years, of having stop signs at five locations in the township, the trustees in one meeting determined to have them removed without any backup plan in place. Now, after learning about a meeting that was just referenced with Westerville Schools, PTA, it seems like trustees may be in a more precarious position and should probably backtrack on their hasty November action and approve the removing of the apparent unwarranted signs. I'm told during the meeting, Trustee Vaughn or someone, or at least people, as you just heard, believe that the signs wouldn't be removed until probably after winter, or possibly even after school is out, and discuss various options. Maybe some light can be shed on that to clarify, and was this agreed to by the entire board? I mean, you've determined and acted, it was moved by Trustee Vaughn, seconded by Trustee Goodman, and unanimously approved to remove unwarranted signs at the various locations. So now the cat is basically out of the bag, but the signs still remain. Seems that there may be some more legal culpability on the township now that they know that they are not warranted, yet the signs remain. I think we had a similar situation, Bob, with the handicap ramps several years ago, where we knew there was a problem. They still were there, and it did expose us a little bit more liability-wise. I just encourage you to slow down and consider an opinion by the Ohio Attorney General, unless you already have. Now, this opinion was rendered at the request of the Summit County Prosecutor in 2021. It addresses the issue of trustees and their role relative to the placement of traffic control devices on township roads or streets. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I do encourage you to get a copy of it, look at it. Maybe you already have. Maybe a county prosecutor already has looked at this. It's the opinion number 2021-026. It was rendered by Dave Yost, November 18th, 2021. Item 5 states, and I'll just quote it here, it's in response to one of the questions asked by the county prosecutor in Summit County. Finally, you ask, if a board of trustees can designate an intersection a multiple-way stop, is it required to obtain an engineering study before doing so? I, the Attorney General, conclude that it is not required to obtain an engineering study. Section 2B.07 of the manual states that the decision to install multi-way stop control should be based on an engineering study. The plan, Section 2B.07, you ask whether the section requires an engineering study or simply recommends one. The use of the word should, as opposed to shall, indicates that the study is optional. References a couple other citations there. In addition, the statement regarding an engineering study for multiple way stops is under a section titled Guidance. The manual states that guidance sections are a statement of recommendation, but not mandatory practice in typical situations. Nor does Revised Code 5571.01 require a Board of Trustees to get an engineering study before placing stop signs at an intersection. The legislature knows how to require a Board of Township Trustees to get an engineering study if the legislature wants to. The absence of any such language in this statute suggests a deliberate choice by the General Assembly. In sum, a Board of Trustees is not required to obtain an engineering study before making an intersection of township roads a multi-way stop. Now, I will go on and say that the Attorney General does advise the townships to be cautious, that engineering studies can be helpful and beneficial, and I would concur with that. But here we're talking about something that's been in existence for over 20 years. So let's look at the facts. These are not newly requested stop signs, so properly documented procedures could be followed, and everyone knows what those were. The stop signs have been in place and serving traffic control devices for at least 20 years. None of us were around, let alone initially involved in that issue. Residents apparently recognize that there are legitimate stop signs and stop the same as they do at any other stop sign in the township, for the most part. The stop signs are not creating a detriment to traffic flow. The police are apparently reluctant to enforce traffic laws on rolling stops due to an assumption the signs were not properly authorized. And this does create a safety issue for the residents and puts the police in an awkward position as well. Stop sign locations do serve as a traffic control device. They are located for the most part close to the initial entryways of each neighborhood with 25 mile an hour per hour speed limits. That's on Hillmar and Spring Run, for instance. I believe also on St. Andrews. From roadways that are 45 miles per hour, Maxtown, Tussock Street, and Africa Road. So you come off a 45 onto a 25, you go a little ways, and bingo, there's a stop sign. It's a, you know, you're in a neighborhood, folks. You're not on Tussock Street anymore. You're not on Africa anymore. The township has known, and based on hearsay, basically it's hearsay, determined that the stop signs were possibly installed without proper studies or authorization. Yet the township and apparently the county engineer allowed them to remain in place for over 20 years. The signs could have been installed by the township, which is permissible, with the approval of the county engineer at that time, 20 years ago, based on engineering judgment, which is another term and another criteria which can be used to place traffic control devices, engineering judgment. It's reasonable to assume that there is no documentation because engineering judgment does not have to be documented according to the state manual. There have also been no documented citizens or HOA complaints about the stop signs other than lack of enforcement of rolling stops. No known accidents have occurred at these locations because of the signs being improperly installed. So ask yourself the question, will removing these traffic control devices make those streets and neighborhoods more safe the next 20 years? And I will try to wrap up. I don't know if we're still working under the three-minute rule or not, but I think it's important. You know, we've had various hearings, zoning hearings, where the issue of traffic and traffic control and engineering studies done by the county engineer have said, there's no problem with the traffic. This development's not going to pose a problem. Yet, it has been used in opposition to those developments by both Trustee Vaughn and Trustee Antonetz and Chairman Antonetz when you were Chairman of the Zoning Commission. So, You know, it just seems kind of interesting that, let's say with the EPCON development, both trustees Vaughn and Antonetz voted to overturn the Zoning Commission's approval of this development. Trustee Vaughn and Antonetz cited traffic and related safety concerns as reason for their vote, ignoring the county engineer's approval of the project's traffic study. The same is true with Genoa Church. We had residents on Via Florenza who didn't even want the cars going down a public road. Trustee Vaughn, and now Trustee Mark Antonetz, disapproved that project. He was chairman at the time, disapproved that project, and worked against the county engineer trying to get those traffic control devices in, even though the county engineer said, no, it can't happen. I'm surprised that we didn't have that same kind of pushback in this case, where we have five stop signs in our neighborhoods on busy streets that have been there 20 years, and we get no pushback. You roll over. It's like one meeting. There's not hardly even any discussion. I encourage you to slow down. Actually stop. Devise a plan of what you're going to do. Now, the issue of the action that you've taken so far, you know, I don't know, do you rescind that? Do we go on normal as we are? Because until you say when those signs are going to be taken down, the previous speaker was correct. Based on your motion, I'm under the assumption as a resident that the county engineer could come out and take those signs down whenever they want, because you've approved them to do that. Because there was no time certain in your motion. So slow down, let's get a plan together. If the signs ultimately are to be removed, which I'm still questioning, then have a plan that can be implemented as soon as those signs are down that will still address the safety issues at those areas. I think that's what people are asking. I do encourage you to look at the Attorney General's opinion. I know you had comments and approval by the county prosecutor, prosecutor's office. County prosecutor also approved the development plans that were opposed. But I also want to recommend or throw this out too. I mean, Mark Fowler, Mark's a great attorney. He has done the township well. But I believe the county prosecutor's office also represents the county engineer's office. So we may want to look at that issue down the road too as a potential conflict. So anyhow, I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else want to speak? Hearing none, I'll close public comment. We are going to move now into trustee comments. I had requested Paul Wise to clue the other two in. I was already planning on speaking on the stop sign issue. A couple things that I want to clarify before we move forward. One, I did meet with the two PTA board members and Mr. Ram from Alcott Elementary. Lieutenant McMillan joined me in that conversation. I had stated in that meeting that my goal is that the township should have a plan in place prior to the stop signs being removed. That was not a decision by the board. I reiterated that statement a couple times in that meeting, but apparently the message, when it got delivered, was not delivered accurately. Also, the conversation did lead in timing. It was the recommendation of Mr. Ram, the principal, that if we were going to remove the stop signs, he recommended the best timing would be winter, because there are less walkers, or at the end of the school year, because that way the children would be able to get used to no stop sign being in certain locations over the summer. So again, none of those decisions have been made. Those were thoughts that were expressed around the table. So I just want to clarify that those are not decisions that the township has made. Just those were discussions that were being had in a meeting. So with that, we do have two representatives here from the engineer's office. We do have Lieutenant McMillan, who has also been in communications with residents. I have been in communications with residents. Trustees have had several emails. I would like to address some of these comments, questions, I should say. Mr. Wise, you want to talk about the history of the stop signs?
I can speak historically about two. I was here in 2004 when they made the two stop signs on Hillmar Drive. And at the time, I don't believe there was ever a traffic study done. It was a board motion to use that as a traffic calming measure to slow down traffic. They did that and then followed up with the application of temporary speed humps on Hillmar Drive. After the residents petitioned the board for those humps, later, when they were deemed to be very cumbersome on the residents and a nuisance and loud, slowed down safety vehicles, they were removed on Hillmar. So that's the extent of the past knowledge of the placement of them. They happened before my, the other ones happened before my time. That takes you back to recent times where residents have been trying to work with the police department on having them enforce the stop signs because of they're in place and why aren't you ticketing people? And it led to the discussion recently about, we'll ask the prosecutor about this. And he said, I recommend that you go through the engineer's office and get a traffic study and have the board sign off on that. And if there's any action, have the board act on that. So it takes us up to the current time, to the November meeting was when that motion was made. But the residents, a lot of them that lived directly near them, were complaining to the police department. And I asked the police, do you really want to go in there? They said, yeah, we need to do something about these because we can't ticket them and they're a liability issue for the township. So that's what led us up to the present time.
So in the question was asked, what came first, the traffic pattern study or the speed study? Do we know what came first?
I don't know when the speed study was done. I just know that the traffic study was done recently. The
speed
limit warrant analysis, REA.
Yep. Anybody else have comments?
You're referring to the study by the engineer's office, correct? Not the speed.
Well,
studies.
I also know that there have been a few, the police department has. I mean, but that's ongoing, correct, Lieutenant McMillan?
That's correct. So we do obviously still have data that flows to us that tell us what speeds we see, how many cars, those types of things, which is the department that Lieutenant McMillan's in charge of. So he's very familiar with any of that. If we have any questions specific to it, but yes. We still do speed studies, so to speak, through our data that we retrieve from our electronic signage. Mm-hmm.
And Bob, can I put you on the spot and kind of, can you explain the timing of what will happen? Let's say we go through this process and the stop signs are going to be removed. What steps will be taken prior?
If we decide to take them out, I would then put up signs that say traffic pattern will change at a certain date, usually 30 days, 15 to 30 days, and everybody gets to see them before we would remove the stop signs. They just wouldn't be taken out tomorrow.
Right. Okay. So you'll get about a 30-day warning prior to the stop signs being removed.
Bob and I are also talking, it would probably be smart to do them all at once if you're going to do them. Wait until the REA is completed for spring run and Dunaway. Right, Bob?
Yep. Yeah.
And for the record, we don't have that study back.
I have not received that yet.
Yeah. So we're well over 30 days out at this time before we could do anything. Can I ask, we have Mike Riedel, Doug Riedel, and Mike Love. I got your first and last names. I knew what I wanted to say. It just didn't come out that way. One of you, can you like to ask for one or both of you to come up to the microphone, and can you explain the process and of your study? I think there have been a lot of questions with your study. and how it came about, what you look for, what determines whether a stop sign is warranted or not?
I'm Mike Love.
Yes.
I'm Doug Rito.
Perfect.
You can explain the REA process.
Yeah, the REA process is a request for engineering assistance. It's a way for our office to keep track of requests from all 18 townships that come in, and it's a way that we can document those requests and follow through and do the work that each of our townships ask us to do. So it's just a way that we communicate back and forth down with our townships. And in this case, there was a request to come in to evaluate five intersections, and then subsequently there was one more that was added later on to look at the warrants that either would warrant a motorway stop or not warrant a motorway stop. And I'll have Mike explain a little bit more in detail what those studies would entail.
So I'm the geeky traffic engineer. So I try not to get too nerdy, but essentially the manual says there's a difference between guidance, standards, and option. It used to be called should, shall, may type stuff. So under that section, there's warrants that are required for multi-way stops. The numbers are somewhere like 300 cars per hour for 8 hours for the main line. And I think it's 200 for the, don't quote me, but I think it's about 200 for the side streets for the 8 hours. And that would warrant a multi-way stop. So our office would have looked at the traffic volumes, compared it against those warrants, those traffic volume warrants. There's some other ones too, some crash history stuff, but there's five crashes every year. That's a lot at an intersection. We don't have hardly any in the county there that way. So we would evaluate that against that criteria, came up with the conclusion it doesn't meet the multi-way stop warrant, and therefore it could be removed.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll let anybody, I've been talking a lot,
questions?
So go ahead.
Well, first off, I'd like to say that I have not seen Trustee Vaughn's personal newsletter that started this. I understand that it came out ahead of anything from the township. So I don't know what information was in there. So I'm speaking from what we have done in our last public meeting and from this evening. How did our police department know or feel that they could not or should not ticket these locations?
I believe that came from our last police chief. So it's been more than 7 years ago that we were informed those stop signs were similar to streets that were not dedicated, that we could not enforce those based on the fact that they were improperly installed or installed without any survey in place or anything done to justify the signs being of legal standard, just as if a sign was 9 feet tall, for example, or 4 feet tall, it doesn't meet the standard. Therefore, the ORC says that it's not legal to write that or issue that citation. The citation is not an accurate thing to do in that point. Mm-hmm. So, but it's been, I believe, that long ago.
If you know any different.
Yeah, so at least since 2015 or before.
Okay. The signs themselves, though, were legal in the way they were presented, installed, etc.
As far as I know, they were legally, the way they were installed was compliant. That's correct.
Okay. Okay. Give me a second here. Thank you, Mr. Matthews, for mentioning about putting up a change sign, because as folks were talking, that was something that I recalled in our discussion, that there would be a notice that it isn't here today, gone tomorrow. There would be a change in pattern. Question for the engineer's office. Are you aware of any other townships that may have signs similar to this that are not approved, per se, with an REA? And then also, Mr. Love, you mentioned that they could be removed. that doesn't, could is kind of a we can, we don't have to. Is it in your mind enforceable the way they stand?
Talking to the microphone.
Putting you on the spot, I'm sorry.
Could may have been the wrong word. I'm an engineer.
Okay.
So when you're not in compliant with the manual, there's probably some culpability or liability or whatever term you want to use. I don't know what that is. I'm an engineer.
Okay.
But it's very clear that the revised code says that townships, counties, cities have to be in compliant with the manual. So when I said could, you could actually remove those.
Okay.
Not as an, I mean, it's always an option, I mean, I think. I mean, it's up to the township to decide whether or not they want to be removed. Our recommendation is that they're unwarranted, therefore they should be removed.
Okay. Back up for me just a second. You said that something says if they're not compliant with your engineering manual. What was it? Was it the ORC or?
The OMUTC, Ohio Manual Uniform Traffic Control Devices.
Which Leslie is going to be sending out information to the public, and that manual is linked in her information.
Yeah, it sounds to me like I understand your study. It also sounds like we've got a lot of things to check into and make sure of what we're doing before we do anything. Whether that means that we need to put a hold on that motion or just we didn't put a time on it so it could live there forever and nothing ever happened. But I've got more questions now than I had with the minimal information we had last time.
Yeah, I think our study just shows that it doesn't meet the multi-stop warrant. Our recommendation is that they be converted to a two-way stop to be compliant with the manual.
Okay, thank you.
A little side note, if you do decide, the engineer's office can help with the transition, provide message boards instead of some part times, which is a little bit more.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
Okay.
And kind of to answer your other question, are there other townships that have intersections similar to these that are non-compliant? The answer is yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You have any other questions?
No, I think that was it. Thanks.
Okay. You have any questions?
No, I don't know that I have any questions, just a couple comments. I mean, first of all, I feel like we have a duty to create the safest neighborhoods we can in the township, and we have to balance that with the information we're getting concerning liability. I know in my neighborhood where my children grew up, if there were stop signs and I felt like they were randomly removed, I would have the same concern, so I get it. So the issue is not that we're just randomly removing stop signs, that's ridiculous. We were provided information that these stop signs could have present a liability problem for the township. So if there is a way that we can maintain these stop signs in these intersections and remove liability, I'm all for it. I'm not for just randomly removing stop signs. And if you listen to the last meeting, your attitude might be a little different because we had this discussion at the last meeting with the police department, our administrator, and the information we were provided is these are creating a liability for the township. I'm okay with putting a pause on this, doing a little more research. I'm mildly interested in Mr. Gephardt's information, and maybe we need to find out if we truly have the authority that's... I mean, I'm an engineer, too, and I know we use science to make decisions. To randomly put up a stop sign, if we can get legal support for it and remove the liability concerns, I have no reason to oppose that.
A couple things that I've learned. I'm not sure about the court case that Mr. Gephardt was referring to, but I do know that there is a difference between a home rule or limited home rule and a statutory township and things that they cannot do in regards to street signs. So I don't know about this decision. It's about a Summit County, but again, there could be townships that are home rule, limited home rule versus statutory. I don't know if that's in play there. It's just something to look into. Leslie, do you mind coming up to the microphone? Leslie is preparing. Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Paul. Is preparing some communication with the from the township and has a survey. Can you kind of talk about options maybe and just whatever you have that you'd like to share in addition to that?
Sure. I try to keep an ear out in the community for what the buzz is, and I was seeing people get very worked up about the stop signs, and they were trying to come up with solutions that they could present to us. And I thought, oh, wow, that's such a lot of work to put on the residents. So I thought instead perhaps I could suggest some of the things I've learned about through just immersion in the planning world through my past experience working at the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission and at the City of Columbus. I'm no way a traffic engineer, but I dove into the subject and reached out to the engineer's office and Director Matthews, and came up with a few traffic calming measures just to put out there in addition to the speed bumps and the crossing signals, which so often come up in the community as ideas and solutions for this problem. So I do have a survey right now on the website that will, you know, I wanted to wait until the discussion tonight happened to see if there were any changes that were going to occur. But we'll put that out to the community if you all are comfortable with it, which suggests other measures that we could be considering, such as cars typically will drive slower when the space is visually pinched for them. So you can reduce the width of the road with things like bike lanes or extending the crosswalks out, a sidewalk extension basically, so folks can have a shorter distance to cross the road at a crosswalk. Striping, even on-street parking narrows the width of roads. Raised medians, and there are some fun things that some communities do where they paint colorful crosswalks, like for example, maybe you'd make the crosswalk look like a ruler near a school. You know, they use art, they infuse art and fun into these situations. We're certainly not the only community to face speed issues in our neighborhood, so I felt like maybe we could research some of these ideas and throw them out there as, hey, do any of these sound like they fit in your neighborhood? Would they help this solution in the neighborhood? And kind of then you guys have data to use when you're deciding what to do moving forward. So that was my thought, and if you're happy with that survey idea, we can go ahead and send that out as soon as tomorrow. If you'd like me to change paths, then I can do that as well. Oh, and I also just want to add, too, there's a disclaimer on the survey, of course, where these are all ideas. They're not all going to fit or be financially, like, in our budget to do, but and actual traffic engineers would need to look at the road and measure it and make sure these solutions could fit. But it's just a way to get people thinking about things other than a speed bump, basically.
When I met with the few members of the Alcott PTA, and what I've emailed residents and spoke to several on the phone, when I talk about removing the stop sign, I don't think that is the issue of actually taking out the stop sign. It is the stop sign is slowing down traffic and helping my kid or myself cross the street. So if you come up with an acceptable alternative to how can students who want to or have to, in some instances, walk to Alcott, get to school safely, as long as we can create a safer alternative than a stop sign. I haven't come across anybody yet who is opposed to that. As long as they feel comfortable with being able to cross the street and somehow being able to slow down traffic, they're okay with that. And Lieutenant McMillan, would you mind talking about the enforceability of the current stop sign versus people crossing in a crosswalk.
Evening, board.
So as we've been told, and like the deputy chief said, the previous administration, which was different chiefs and deputy chiefs, had told us several years ago that the stop signs were put up without certification, without warrant, and we were no longer allowed to write citations on them, that they would be unlawful citations. So we've operated under that for some time. The traffic, I take most of our traffic complaints, and our traffic complaints to include the stop signs, speeding, pedestrian traffic, every year increases. And so lately, the complaints have gotten to the point where now they're starting to come to the PD and complaining why we're not willing to do our job. Because they're complaining about these complaints, but we won't work them. So again, we kind of brought up the subject with the administrator. The studies have been done, and there we are. What we talked about at the one meeting I attended with you was crosswalks. And crosswalks are enforceable by law. When a pedestrian's in the crosswalk, now different crosswalks have different parameters, but if there's a pedestrian in a crosswalk, a vehicle is required to stop. And if that vehicle doesn't, that becomes enforceable by law. And that's something that not only can we work speeds in the area, but if we have those particular signs, which are, it gives us something, more teeth, if you will, to stick to in an area for us to walk, work. So that's, as I understand it, again, with there's some questions, it sounds like maybe that's come up with the Attorney General on whether or not they are enforceable, but we've been under orders from a previous administration that those are unenforceable, but crosswalks would be enforceable.
Very good. Anybody else?
Yeah. I'm not sure who gets this question. So, Leslie, you mentioned something about creative crosswalks, maybe making them look a little bit more like a yardstick or a ruler or whatever. If we move away from the traditional crosswalk and do something creative, is it legal and enforceable? Or does that also have some specific parameters that need to be abided by?
That question's not for me.
Okay.
So that's what I...
Thank you. I didn't think it was, but...
Yeah, very good.
So a crosswalk is... You might know more than I do. A crosswalk doesn't necessarily mean pavement marking, okay? Crosswalks are established by revised code in the intersection of two public right-of-ways. Whether that's painted or not, the crosswalk is still there. So how you treat it as a crosswalk, you have options. You still have to follow the manual, mm-hmm. but there's some leeways. You can do, the standard one is 12-inch lines separated by 10 feet. That's what you see most places. You can do ladder type crosswalks or continental or West Road, does some, they call them bar pairs, you know, different types of crosswalks that look different, but they would still comply with the manual. You can't put down, you know, bright pink pavement markings to make it look different. That wouldn't work. There are some options that you can do. There are some options that are a little bit more expensive. I'm not sure if you guys have any. Do you have any RRFBs, rapid flashing beacons?
Yeah. Yes.
So you can do some of those at the crosswalks. From the county engineer's perspective, we do the standard crosswalk in most places. We do, it's called the Continental. It looks like a ladder. You've seen them before. Mm-hmm. Near schools and mid-block type crossings to give you that extra emphasis. We don't really recommend those at every location because then you lose the specialness of them. But there are options that we would be able to help you with if you wanted a different type of crosswalk that was marked.
But there's some that need to be selected from. You can't just go off the rails with this.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Questions, comments? Any other staff? So where do we want to go from here? I mean, we obviously have to wait until the last REA is finished, so we will be discussing this and have to approve another motion at some point. So we could, I would like to see the results of Leslie's survey. That would give us a month to see what the people think, get some more feedback. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I was just agreeing with you. Yes, we would have to wait until that last REA gets studied and done away, and then bring that back to the board the following meeting. So, yes, and then there is that lag time, too, if the board decides that, yes, we're moving together, moving ahead. Mr. Riedel already put a plan on how that should be done legally with the notifications done on the roadway, the removal of stop bars, et cetera, before they're taken out. So,
yeah. Are we in consensus as a board that we are not comfortable with the stop signs being removed until we have a plan in place?
I am.
That's fine. I just don't want this to go too long.
No,
I don't
I
want
agree.
It to fall off of our radar.
No, I don't think it will.
Okay.
I mean, that's not, I think this is a hot topic. I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon. But I think that that's what the residents want to hear, is that we're going to look into this. We are listening to you. I do want to come up with a satisfied resolution. I'm not saying we're going to make everyone happy, but my goal is to make most people happy, that we can come up with a reasonable solution before the stop signs are removed. I think we can...
Reasonable and legal.
Legal.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Okay.
I just have a question with Leslie's, that the difficult thing about surveys is if you get results that you don't like, then you have to make a decision what you're going to do. So I'm just curious on how you're going to structure this. And what are we prepared to do if it's unanimous that they want their stop signs? So I
don't think that's even on the list, is it?
You said to have the stop signs?
Keeping the stop signs isn't even
it
on your survey,
on
is it?
It wasn't on the list. I can add it to the list. I was under the impression that they had to be removed based on the last meeting, so it wasn't on the list. But I can add it.
No, that's fine. I haven't seen the way you're structuring it. That's why I'm asking.
Director Schaefer could pull it up if you're able
to. No, you know what? I don't need to get down the weeds now, but I would like to see it before it goes out.
Absolutely, yeah. Just briefly, you're able to select which intersections are of top concern to you, and then you can then check as many options as you want as far as which solutions sound like they would fit your neighborhood the best, and some of the ones I've already listed here. And then there is also an open comment box if something wasn't on the list that you've thought of that you think would be a great solution. There's space to write your heart out, and leaving a name and email is optional so that we can get back to the residents who are interested in receiving ongoing updates about this.
Okay, and I'm sorry, I might have stated this. You are going to consult with the county engineer on the options before you present them as options?
They have already reviewed the website, all the content on there. Now, we didn't go to that level of detail, of course. The website has a disclaimer just saying, you know, these are methodologies that are used in other communities. Our roads would need to be measured and assessed, and our budget would need to be reviewed before anything could actually be implemented. You know, this is a data point for us, knowing what people would like, and then of course there's going to be further discussion and assessment that needs to take place after that.
Okay.
So I believe the website is clear. If anyone on the board or the engineer's office would like me to make an edit before it goes out, I'd be happy to do so.
All right, thanks.
Sure.
You mentioned that you can select certain intersections. Are you limiting it to the intersections that are part of this plan here?
I am.
Okay, and I have no problem with that. Is it going out township-wide so that someone who lives way far away with probably little if any standing would be able to weigh in or say in that comment section, what about my neighborhood? How are we going to deal with those?
I was planning to send it out to anybody who, you know, would possibly use the road or have their child walking to school or whatever. So, yes, I was going to leave it open to anyone.
Okay.
And, yes, I feel the comment box is large enough that people can write a good deal in there and share their thoughts and opinions. And, you know, I haven't sent it out, but it does live on the website already. So some people have found it just passing through our website, and I've already received like maybe 5 or 6 submissions, and they have been feeling comfortable to give us those kinds of comments in that field. So I feel good about, you know, kind of them as a test case using this form.
So I guess my question is more, Is this going to be like a Facebook next door kind of thing, oh, where everybody and their brother can, you know,
oh,
put
I
information
see
out there? I'm concerned about that being too broad.
Too broad. I do plan to put it on Facebook unless the board would like me not to, but I primarily, my method to reach residents with this survey is that I've been doing this e-newsletter on the off months that we're not printing a newsletter, and that's due to go out today, actually. I was just holding off until after this meeting, but that goes to our subscription list, which is in the thousands. Okay, that would be my primary method.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? All right. I think we've anything else from engineer's office? All right. With that, we'll move on. Any other trustee comments? I'd like to thank both Doug Riedel and Mike Love for attending tonight. Thank you for your time. Any other trustee comments?
I have none.
I have none.
All right. We'll move on. Fire, first up.
Good evening, board. Just one item for us this evening. In your packets, you should have a quote for a, lack of a better word, a water fountain for the trail, the multi-purpose trail that runs behind the fire station. Just a little history on this for, gosh, probably greater than 10 years. The fire department, the firefighters came up with an idea years ago. Obviously, I think everyone's aware the trail is heavily used, and especially in the warmer weather. And so the idea was just we used to throw a water cooler out there, fill it with ice and throw water at it. And then it became popular, and people used to stop by. And we even had people stop by in the wintertime and bring gifts to say thank you. We've had marathon training groups stop by and say they plan their routes because they know that the water cooler used to be there. Two things basically stopped us. Number one was COVID. All the concerns about COVID transmission. We took the water cooler down. health and safety concerns. And we've opted not to put anything back in. We've been working on this project for a couple of years, and full transparency, I brought this up with Bob and Paul a couple of years ago, and we found the money. And whether I dropped the ball or I didn't communicate it well, we didn't get it ordered, and the money was unspent. So I'm back in front of you this evening to ask for permission for approval to buy a, basically it's an outdoor, heavy-duty, parks-grade water fountain that would also have an attached pet fountain that would sit out in the rear of the fire station on the trail. We already have water. Water line that runs out there that we currently maintain for the misting device for the runners and bicyclists. So it would just be a matter of teeing off that water line to supply the water to the fountain. And basically when it comes in, probably get a couple of Bob's folks to bring it over and set it in the location. We'll take care of the plumbing for it. I asked for just a little bit of the ARPA funds. I thought that this was appropriate recreational trail feature item. And this is the same company we looked at a couple of years ago out of Tennessee. Research went in, several bids, and they seemed to be the best type of equipment for the outdoor application. And as you can see, the quote is for $6,235. So if there's any questions, I'm willing to answer any of those that I'm able to.
Anyone? Questions?
I have questions. You want to do the motion first and then go into discussion?
Sure.
Or do you want me to ask now?
We can do the motion.
Okay.
I'll move to approve a purchase order and most dependable fountains incorporated in the amount of $6,235 for trail bottle filler water fountain. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Okay, now my question.
Discussion.
Is it year round or does it have to be winterized?
We will have to winterize it in the winter.
So, okay. So once we get to the same time as the irrigation systems, there'll be no water on the trail.
Correct.
Bring your own. Okay. Thank you. That was it.
Thank you. Mr. Antonetti, do you have any?
Yeah, I think Chief addressed my first question, which was, did we properly shop around and get the best deal we can get for the township?
We did. We found, full transparency, we found some that were cheaper, but did not feel that they were of the...
Cheaper.
Cheaper.
They were cheaper. Right? not less expensive. They were
cheaper. Yes, they were cheaper. And we didn't feel, and quite honestly, to the point where we didn't feel that we were going to get the lifespan out of what we could see in the build and the quality of the product, and that's why we selected to go with the quote that you have in front of you. It's very heavy duty, made for the outdoor application, not outdoor sitting under some sort of a shelter, but purely outdoors.
I want to thank you for taking the lead on this and for providing water for all of the people who go past, including pets.
Yeah.
For all of these years, and I think it's a great idea.
Well, and just to give credit where credit is due, this is not me, it's just me, the spokesperson. The lead person on this from the fire department for the last 2 years has been Mike Gertie, who hasn't let go of this. It's just been a matter of timing and finding the funding for it. And I think the timing is right, and we had the funding, so that's why I'm here tonight.
I did, and thank you, Pat and Donna. I just wanted to see where we were with ARPA funds, since we're requesting ARPA funds for this. We've allocated all but about $400,000 of our ARPA money. So we still, but we still owe Chief Ponzi something for the fire truck. So I don't want to forget that. So
that's
in that,
$6,235.
Right? Yeah. I know he's taking from himself. So
it's coming out of your fire truck,
and that's just a guesstimate. Those are things that we've, you know, we'll know more as we purchased items. But I did have Pat double check with Donna, and it's close to $400,000 in ARPA money left. So I was going to request that it go through the parks, because according to her earlier figures, I thought we had less. But I'm okay with it going out of ARPA, unless anybody else wants it to come out of parks.
Oh, I think it's an ARPA. That's not a park.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Mr. Antonetti?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Bond?
Yes. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Paul Wise, administration.
Thank you. After the November meeting, the Trabeau agency contacted our board chair and said that the agreement that the board made a motion for at that meeting was no longer eligible, and we should look to do the same agreement with Archer Energy. So if the board would scratch off last month's resolution number from that's not relevant now. But Renee, if you have anything to offer, I'll let you speak.
Yes, Scott Bill Castro called me sometime after the last meeting and said after we had passed our motion, he had reached out to Energy Harbor and they were no longer able to give us the price that he had promised us. So he had to kind of farm that out. So it's exactly the same numbers and agreement. It's just he had to go with another vendor. So that's why he's asking us to go ahead with this. So I'll move to enter into agreement with Archer Energy to lock in 45% of the load and lock in the remaining 55% in March to authorize Paul Wise to sign the 12-month agreement effective at the end of the current contract. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any other discussion, questions?
Okay. Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries. Next.
Thank you. Next up is the 2023 Township Temporary Appropriations. After we summarized all of the department so-called budget meetings, I compressed them onto one appropriation sheet and came up with the total of the total, and it's $24,462,692.02 for the entire township. This is only a temporary appropriation measure to get us through until next year, until they close the books and find our exact carryover amounts. So I recommend the board pass this temporary appropriation budget.
Okay, I'll move to approve the 2023 Genoa Township temporary appropriations in the amount of $24,464,692.02, effective January 1st, 2023. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion?
None.
You're good. Roll call.
Mr. Antonetz?
Yes.
Goodman?
Yes, motion carries.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you. Next, I'm going to move it over to Bob Matthews with maintenance.
Good evening. Just more or less information for the trustees. We did set the restrooms today at Hillmar and the gardens. Everything came out okay. We had to do some plumbing and got to get electric ran to them. And one water tap at Hillmar still needs to be done. But I think that the restroom should be functioning by the end of the year.
Oh, very good. That's very quick.
And speaking of ARCA money, I think the restrooms are going to end up being about 160, 170. So there's going to be 25,000-30,000 from each one of them left over.
Great.
So I'd say you get about 50,000 or 60,000 back.
Wow, great.
That's good work.
Right, I know. Chief Ponzi's super excited. Think about how many water fountains we could buy with that.
The next thing I wanted to bring you up to speed on was the Township Hall. Old Township Hall will be moved December 14th at 9:30. We're going to have liftoff and take it over to McNamara. It'll sit over there for about a week so they can build the foundation. We're pouring the footer tomorrow for the foundation, and then the crane will take it over there and sit it over top of the hole while they build the foundation under it, because the building is not square, so they couldn't get a square foundation to sit it on without building it right underneath it, looking at it. So that all happens Wednesday, the 14th of December. Anybody wants to watch, they can park in the administration building or down at the church at Tussock and Big Walnut.
Did you get permission for that parking?
Leslie got all that lined up.
Thank you, Leslie.
Sure, yes. I have a press release that'll go out as well, inviting the media to have that as their safe viewing location. The board, of course, I'll email each of you to make sure you have that date, as well as a few other people who have been critical in making this happen. So we'll be inviting folks down there to watch.
Great.
And what time do you say that's going to be?
9:30 is, we're going to wait till the last school takes up at 9:10. I didn't want to interfere with the buses because it will take probably a couple, 3 hours to get from Tussock to McNamara on Big Walnut and Old 3.
Good thinking, Bob. That was good thinking.
So, and the last thing is might be the most interesting for me. We have decided to set up an interactive snow route plowing, salting system. And we've tested it once, and we had a few things that didn't come out good in the test. We're testing again tomorrow, trying to work the bugs out. And I see it's on the screens up there now if you want to look at it. The map, but on an event, we create an event every time we go out to salt, and we'll be able to track all the trucks and where they're at, and it'll color the map when they salt and when they plow, and the residents will be able to see that. The only time they'll be able to see that is if we go to plowing. So I won't activate the map for them to see unless we go to plowing, and I'll wait till 2 inches on the ground. That means we're going to have to plow everything. And Leslie's been a great help. She's been helping me with this. You got any more?
It was already on. Yeah, I would just add that residents, this is what you're looking at right now is the public-facing side of the website. Bob has a separate kind of portal he can go into to see another layer of detail, but residents could toggle between what priority is my street. We had a lot of questions last winter about, I don't understand why they did the road right next to me and they didn't hit my neighborhood at the same time. It's really because of these priority levels, so they're color-coded. We could change these colors a little bit. We are still finessing things.
Yeah. I think we got down, I think she's changed it right down to red is mains. I want to say, I better not say because one of them is orange and one of them is blue, I think. But you'll see all that before we go live with the public first time. With it. Well, I think it's going to be a great help to us because we'll be able to, I'll know where everybody's at, and if something needs hit quicker, we'll get a truck over there, be in contact with them all the time. And there's mains, there's collectors, and the rest of them are residential, just like any other municipality or township. They saw it in priorities that's what the map will show them. So they might not have as many questions about why ain't I got my street plowed, because there is priorities that we had to clean first and go to collectors and stuff like that. Anything else, Leslie?
I don't think so. Just we'll be... So this hopefully going smoothly the first run through.
Right. This will show the streets that the Genoa Township plows. You won't see streets that the county plows.
Correct.
Right? Okay.
County won't be on there. State won't be on there. And private sections that are not our responsibility will be a color that says private.
Yeah, you can see the legend on the sign. It does say Delaware County and ODOT. On there so you can see that they exist, but we're not responsible for them.
So, Bob, just for people listening, what are some roads that the county, in the township, the county plows and the township doesn't?
Old Three, Tussock, Sunbury, Lewis Center.
Worthington,
except for right. North of Plum is ours.
So there's quite a few main arteries in the township.
That, correct.
That if they're not plowed, residents need to reach out to the engineer's office and not Genoa.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would just also mention a fun thing about this program is the students at Alcott Elementary have been painting the plows and taking great pride in it. And now there is a feature that we'll be able to turn on if we so choose where they'll be able to locate where that particular truck that they helped paint is, like if it's going to pass by their home. So that's something that we have the option to turn on if we so choose. So it'd be kind of a fun activity. It won't snow now. Luckily, Bob can use it in other ways.
As you're tracking plows, I know that this is available to our large snow plow trucks. What about those folks that we contract with to do like cul-de-sacs and such?
Well, I have told the contractor if he continues to work for us, he's going to provide his guys with phones so we can track them.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Right. Yeah. It's a good idea, Bob. Cool.
Yeah.
Anything else? Any other questions?
Very nice.
Very good, Bob.
Thank you.
What else? Keep losing my agenda. Next, police. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, board. Before I have my singular request for the evening, I wanted to take a quick moment to express my
Sincere thanks to our wonderful community and others for their loyal support of our military members who are serving overseas, protecting our country and our freedoms. We have almost a full kitchen of items. It's unbelievable the support that's come out to send over to our folks that are overseas. So I just want to express how grateful we are as a police department and how grateful those members are going to be when they receive those packages. It is a huge deal for them, I can tell you. I've spoken with at least one of them, and to have something from home or anything that represents home is just something that's very close to their heart. So thank you very much to the residents and anyone else that's given in regards to our soldiers that are serving. So appreciate it. Moving on to my business here. In your packet, you have a request from Officer DeLancey to complete his bachelor's degree in criminal justice from Eastern Michigan University. His request complies with Section 15.1 of our current collective bargaining agreement, which requires advance approval from the Board of Trustees. And I would therefore request the board's approval for that request this evening. Thank you.
I'll move to approve the tuition reimbursement for Officer Dalton DeLancey for a bachelor's degree in criminal justice from Eastern Michigan University per Article 15 tuition reimbursement in the Ohio Patrolman's Benevolent Association Union Agreement. Reimbursement will be based on final grades. Do I have a second?
Second.
Question? Discussion? Anything? Roll call.
Mr. Antoinette?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes, motion carries.
That's all I have, unless anyone has any other questions.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good, thank you. I'm going to turn it over to Leslie. She has a website update.
As you know, we've been working on redesigning the website. My Communications Advisory Committee has put a lot of thought and effort into this project. They tested with their friends and neighbors, kind of gave them a quiz on try to find this item on the website and try to, you know, navigate what we have right now and as a means to help us find our weaknesses and resolve them with this redesign. So I wasn't sure I would have this in time for the meeting, so I got it at 4 o'clock today, and luckily I'm able to show you where we are with the website redesign. I've taken a very hands-on approach this time, whereas I was brand new in this position last time we did this job. So I kind of just went with what the web vendor gave us this time. I was very deeply involved in doing the design side by side. So without further ado, we'll see what the homepage looks like right now. And my hope is that tonight you'll give me permission to move to the next stage of this, which would be having the developers actually begin programming this so that we'll be able to stay on track schedule-wise. Are you able to zoom out just a little bit to get it full screen? So, it's okay. This will get us enough. So the blue bar you see across the top, that's one of our alert methods that can be turned on and off when we have an important message that needs to go up. We currently have a pop-up box on the right-hand side of our screen on our current website we use for this, and that'll still be available to us as well. So I'll have one more way of kind of bringing special attention to a topic if we need it. For example, like the snowplows. Snowplows are out now. Click here to view their progress. You have the navigation that we have right now up across the top, only we've emphasized the search box. This is a new curated search feature, so it's going to bring you to the content you're looking for much more rapidly than now. If you scroll down just a little bit, Joe, there are these little icons over on the right-hand side that we're almost passing, the little house and the those buttons are actually page anchors. And what they will do is not jump you away to a different page. They're going to take you down our homepage further to these things called, we call these folds. So trending topics is where we would put, some programs might stay up there all the time and others will come and go seasonally. So recycling and trash, we know this is one of the top visited web pages we have. So that would probably stay up there all the time. But for example, let's say trick or treat is coming up. That's one I can turn on and off as needed. So this can just be topics that are relevant to the community right now. For example, stop signs could be up there if this website was launched right at this moment. You can scroll down. So this is a special feature area where we can put other programs that we want to bring to people's attention with even more emphasis. So for example, signing up for the newsletter, how to submit a request to one of the departments we call it the Citizen Request Center right now, where you can, you know, email or send a message with a concern to any department. So those will be rotating through like a carousel. Can go down. This is a much improved calendar, in my opinion. You can see the whole month and click around to different dates, which we can't currently do. You see the next four upcoming events, and you can click to view them all. You can also toggle at the top of the calendar between, right now these are just kind of like placeholder text, but I envision recycling and trash being its own category. You have your meetings, and then you have events. So you can look to see if you're only interested in one of those. You can just kind of filter out the things you're not interested in. You can scroll down. Here is where you'll have kind of the nitty-gritty details for the folks that like coming to the meetings and want to be very immersed in the details of our jobs here. So I have agendas and minutes, public records, fiscal reports, and all these buttons, you'll see some of the text says dummy text or whatever, it's in Latin. That's because I'm going to have the ability to finesse this a little bit as I get my hands on it. The trustees and Paul, if you'll allow it, Pat, everyone will be rotating their images through, and you'll be able to click to your elected official webpage. You can scroll down. So right now I have a situation on our website where posting the news is very redundant because I'm doing it on Facebook, I'm doing it on Nextdoor, and then I write an article to go on the news, in the news section of our website. Hopefully, with this update, a lot of that will be automated because police, fire, myself, we're all posting our news on Facebook first. So this tool will actually be grabbing those posts from those three pages and feeding them directly to the website automatically, so I won't have to spend so much time doing that. You can scroll down. And then a quick one-click subscription to our website, or to our newsletter, excuse me. And then at the very bottom, our menus are changing, so people will be able to see the full menu of options at the bottom and the top of the page and hopefully navigate to where they're going a little more quickly. If you want to move to the interior page, department page, Joe, excuse me. So our current website only has two layers. We have a home page and we have an interior page. With this redesign, Revise was generous and I said, you know, I'd really like to emphasize our departments more. Would you be willing to throw in this third layer, which would be this police, or not police, but department layer page. Police is my example. And they agreed, so that was generous of them. Once again, that search bar is constant because we want to make sure people can always navigate to where they're going. If you scroll down, wanted to make sure we're putting I was noticing in our current design that the emergency phone numbers and addresses tend to fall to the bottom of the page when you're viewing it on a cell phone. This should resolve that. putting those essential contact information and things up right up front in there. This is called a hero section of the website, with the big image and the contact information. Below that, I'm moving to a much more graphic style button so that people have visual cues that what they're looking for, they can see a picture of it if they're taking in all the text isn't for them. The pictures will be hopefully a nice visual way to navigate the website. You can scroll down. So there's searchable, the FAQs, this is a new update, are searchable now, whereas before you had to just click through and read a bunch of things. Those are searchable now as well. So I think we can move to an interior page, which is the fastest. It's very simple, because by the time you're to an interior page, which is really the nitty-gritty program details, people don't need all the bells and whistles. They just want to read the information as quickly as possible and get down to it. So this page is quite basic, but that's the intent. So, yes, Trustee Goodman, did you want to add anything from our committee discussions? Or,
well, I would just like to thank the committee for all their hard work. As the liaison to that group, they spent hours, both in committee meetings and outside, looking at these, working with Leslie, giving her feedback. They also listened to the feedback that we received and sought out feedback. So I think this is a really good compilation of things that we liked, didn't like, wanted changed, and Leslie's done a phenomenal amount of work, as has the committee. So thanks to all.
Thank you.
Likewise, I like it. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for all the work you put into it. I know it's tedious and time-consuming.
Some of the worst websites I've ever been on, the local government type, you know, where they just threw a website up there and you just can't find it. This is really cool.
Yeah, I like it. I especially like the search function, because that definitely has been lacking.
Yes, there will be a little bit of a learning curve for me, because things have been revamped a little bit between our last launch and this one, but I'm hoping everything goes nice and smoothly as it's been planned, but I'm excited to see the change happen. So it sounds as though the board is comfortable with me moving to the next step with the developers.
Yeah, I am. Everybody else? I'm good with that?
Thank you.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Any other business before the board? Okay, I'll do announcements. December 7th, we have the Parks Advisory Committee meeting. December 8th, Communications Advisory Committee meeting. December 12th, Zoning Commission meeting. December 20th, BZA meeting. December 23rd and 26th, offices will be closed for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. January 2nd, the offices will be closed for New Year's Day. January 4th is the Parks Advisory Committee meeting, and then we have our regular trustee meeting on January 5th, 2023. At this time, I'll move to adjourn to executive session at 7:58 p.m. to consider the appointment, employment, promotion, or compensation of a public employee. Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Ms. Transonettes?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. This time, we're adjourned to executive session.
So this is my last. Oh, never mind. I was going to say something nice, but.
Save it. At this time, I'll move to return from executive session to regular session, to the regular trustee meeting at 9 p.m. Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Antonetti?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries. I'd like to add that attending executive session this evening were the three trustees, Trustee Goodman, Trustee Antonetts, and Trustee Vaughn, myself, Township Administrator Paul Wise, Director of Zoning Joe Schaefer, Director of Human Resources Linda Greco, Director of Buildings and Grounds and Roads and Bridges Bob Matthews, Fire Chief Joe Ponzi, Deputy Police Chief Rush Chabali, Lieutenant Jim McMillan, and our fiscal officer, Pat Meyer. At this time, I'll move to adjourn this meeting
at 9:01 p.m. Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Antoinette?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries. We're adjourned at 9:01 p.m.